Okay. So, I think one of the most fundamental Gemaras of Koda, I spoke Friday night in front of the yeshiva, I don't know if it was here, Gemara on Shabbos Pechet, which speaks about, I'll just run through the Gemara quickly, so we're just filled in on what's going on in the Gemara, and then we'll see the way Rav Huttner understands the Gemara and uses the Gemara to understand Purim. Okay, there's a Gemara on Shabbos Peches, which says that it darshens from the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayitzvu b'tachti sahar," that Klal Yisrael stood. It literally means, I guess, they stood under the mountain, which, you know, means at the foot of the mountain. But says the Gemara that Mikan Kofa Alein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Har Kigigis. What does it mean? Vayitzvu b'tachti sahar. Hakadosh Baruch Hu held and suspended Har Sinai over Klal Yisrael like a gigis, like a barrel of wine. Okay? And he said to them, if you accept the Torah, great. And if not, if you don't accept the Torah, I'm going to drop the entire mountain on you right now, and you will die. Right? That's Kafa Alein Har Kigigis. Kadosh Baruch Hu suspended the mountain over them like a gigis. Okay? Very perplexing Gemara. Tosos points out, we're not going to get into this right now, Tosos points out, wait a second, didn't they say Nasa V'Nishma? If they said Nasa V'Nishma, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to force them into accepting the Torah? But we're not going to get into that right now. But L'maisa, what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a gun to their head and said, you have to accept the Torah, I am not giving you a choice, I will kill you right now if you don't accept the Torah. Okay, so the Gemara responds to that and says, Moda Rabba L'Raisa. There's a great claim we can make against the Torah. Meaning, if we're forced into any agreement, it's called a mekach tos, and it's not a mekach tos, isn't binding. So, why do I need to keep the Torah? Why should we have to keep the Torah? If Hashem forced us into it, then I don't need to accept the Torah, I don't want to keep the Torah. So that's modah rabba l'oraisa, that's the second step of the Gemara, and answers the Gemara, hadar kibluha bimei achashverosh, that eventually Klal Yisrael willfully accepted the Torah in the times of Purim. He took Simchas HaNeis from because of the great happiness from the Neis Purim, and they accepted the Torah by will. And if you accept something by will, then it is binding. So when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah in the times of Purim, that was the real the Makav Patish, the final acceptance, the lasting acceptance of the Torah happened at Purim. Okay. Very strange Gemara, but that's like an opening to understand, like, you know, you read the Megillah, you don't necessarily, I mean, it is a Hadar Kiblu B'mei Achashverosh, is a drasha from the Pesukim in the Megillah, but you wouldn't necessarily understand the entire story of Purim as being this great national event of Kabbalah Torah until you read this Gemara. But you read this Gemara, it kind of opens up the holiday, okay? One more point, where, and then with this hakdama we'll be able to understand the piece, is a famous, people like to throw this around in you know, in the yeshivas a lot, in the velt a lot, you'll hear this, Yom Kippurim. What does Yom Kippurim mean? They try to say, and it's true, the Gra says it and other sources that say it, that Purim is such a holy day that Yom Kippur is only Kippurim, it's only like Purim, it's almost Purim, it's not quite Purim, but what does that mean exactly? You know, you could throw that around. What does that mean? So Rav Huttner tries to weave these two ideas together. I'll also just point out before we begin the piece, Yom Kippur is a day of Kabbalah Torah, right? The Rav writes about this in many places. But what does that mean? Yom Kippur is a day of Kabbalah Torah. That's the day we received the Torah, right? We received the Torah, and then Moshe smashed the Luchos because of Chet HaEgel. And eventually the second reacceptance of the Torah was on Yom Kippur. So now, you know, we already start seeing, oh, Kabbalah Satorah on Purim, which we don't necessarily think of. Kabbalah Satorah on Yom Kippur, which we also don't, because usually we think of Shavuos as Kabbalah Satorah, but the final Kabbalah Satorah was on Yom Kippur. So we have a Kabbalah Satorah on Yom Kippur and a Kabbalah Satorah on Purim, and we have this idea of Yom Kippur, and Rav Huttner puts it all together. But what's Rav Huttner going to do? He's going to speak about how the two Kabbalah Satorahs are very different, which, lechora, they would be very different. Just look at the way Purim is manifested, and, you know, take a snapshot, I meant to say, but, Snapchat, whatever, okay? Take a snapshot of Purim, and take a snapshot of Yom Kippur, and you'll be like, okay, Kabbalah Satorah, like, they're night and day. So how could that be? How could these two Kabbalah Satorahs, Yom Kippur, be night and day? So let's start with this piece. Inyan Yud Aleph from Rav Huttner, Purim is Yom Kippurim. Right, Purim and Yom Kippurim. Bein bePurim, bein beYom Kippurim, midabrim al odos Kabbalah. Right, so both times we speak about Kabbalah. BeYom Kippur medubar al Kabbalah lahaba, ubePurim hamedubar al odos kimu vekiblu. So what are the two different Kabbalahs that we talk about? On Yom Kippur, what's the number, you know, if we open up the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, which is like the backbone to Yom Kippur, what's the theme in Rambam Hilchos Tshuva? Kabbalah Lahaba, accepting upon yourself things of the future. And we all know, we stand there on Purim, and we, you know, I did this wrong, I'm not going to do this anymore, and I take upon myself to this good midah, and this good hanhaga, and to I'm taking upon myself to work on lashon hara, and to work on the way I my midos in this area. So that's Yom Kippur. Upurim hamudu ba'odos kimu v'kiblu. What's the Kabbalah on Purim? Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu mashu kiblu kvar. A past Kabbalah. Right? Elo shebi Yom Kippur medabrim al Kabbalah betziruf im charata. V'ilu b'purim hamudu ba'orak odos Kabbalah. So you're already pointing out, Matthew, a difference between future and past. Rav Huttner highlights a different difference between Yom Kippur and Purim, which is what? That on Yom Kippur, what comes along with the Kabbalah? Charata. Okay? You can't have Kabbalah without regret. And there's an avoda, and a seriousness, and a tenseness which arises on which we feel on Yom Kippur. And on Purim, as much as there's a Kabbalah, we don't feel any, you know, it's you don't walk around with charata all day on Purim. So Oro shel davar ze ganuz hu beuvda ki Purim hu yom bitol hamo modar rabo lo raisa. So the light of this difference can best be, you know, come to light through this uvda which we just spoke about, the Gemara Shabbos Peichet of the bitol, the revoking of the claim we had against the Torah. So mashma'uta shel moda'a, right? What's it mean, a claim? He sha'adam amoser moda'a toin ki amaisa shu asa lo na'asa al yidei ha'ani shel ha'atmi. What's the claim? What are we claiming? What does it mean? The phrase, moda'a rabba lo raisa, a great claim against the Torah. What's the claim we're making? If you were a lawyer, what's the argument you're making? I don't... What? Mekach Tos, what does Mekach Tos mean? So, right, okay, wasn't full-hearted. So, the way Rav Huttner says it, Ki ha-maisa asher asa, lo nasa al-yidei ha-ani shel atzmi. That maisa which was done didn't come from who I really am. Meaning, if someone puts a gun to my head, and I sign a waiver that says, Zev Kahana signs over $1 million to Mr. Holding Gun, right? And I sign it. So what's my claim going to be afterwards? That wasn't that Maisa, that signing, that signature, or that saying Nasa Vinishma, that acceptance of the Torah, that wasn't the true me. It was the gun. It wasn't me. So that's what a Modar Rabba means, right? Ella mitoch gormim chitzonim shehechrichu osi lakach. Rather, there were external things that forced me into doing something. I did X, Y, and Z because there was a gun to my head. Ula omaze bitol moda perush hu lahefech. So what would bitol moda mean? To revoke the claim. What would revoking the claim mean? If the claim is saying that action wasn't me, how would you revoke the claim? What? No, that is the claim. The claim is we don't want the Torah, but that's the claim. And to revoke the claim is to say, actually, that action really was me. Okay? As in, the claim is saying, Nasiv Nishma, the guy who said Nasiv Nishma, that's not me. The guy that signed the document, that's not me. To revoke that claim is to say, actually, I really did mean it. I really, You know, even though there was a gun to my head, I really wanted to give him that money. Or even though there was a mountain over my head, I really did want to say Nasav and Ishmael. Right? So, bitul moda pirusha lehefech. She'adam ha-mevatul tainos moda mashme'inu she'adavar hazeh naaseh kan. Right? This thing was done. Nasehu davka mitoch nekudas ha'ani b'malei chiruso apnimis. So to revoke the claim is saying that the action wasn't me. To revoke the claim is saying, no. That action really, really was me. I really did want to sign. I really did want to accept. Right? So again, back to the mashal, someone puts a gun to my head and says, sign this document. I sign the document. Then a day later, I'm like, no, I didn't want to do that. But eventually, if I come to that out of my own will, I'm going to say, actually, yeah, I did want, the true me did want to sign that document. So that's what's happening on Purim. On Purim, we're saying that even though I tried to claim that Nasav and Nishma wasn't me, really, Nasav and Nishma is me. V'yoma Purim she'anu danimo so liyom bitol ha-modaraba lo'raisa. So Purim is the bitol modaraba perusho. Hu she'v'yom ze anu makirim be'behirus u'berirus ki ha-nasa v'nishma shayach hu le'etim ha-nekuda shel hevyatinu ha-atzmiyotinu. So what's happening on Purim? On Purim we're coming out and we're saying, nasa v'nishma, that was me. That true, deep down inside, I really did say Nasav and Ishma. And even though it seems like some external thing forced me to do it, really, in my essence, deep down inside, Nasav and Ishma.
Was there ever a time when people claimed that they really didn't mean it?
Did?
Was there ever a time that Klal Yisrael ever said, really, we didn't mean it? Like, are we just assuming based on the circumstances of it?
Well, the way we're looking at it, the way this whole, the Gemara's portraying everything, is that we're looking at Klal Yisrael as one entity. So once we accept it at Purim, but I think at the end of this piece we'll understand why that's true. Once we accept it at Purim, we can't get out of it after, because accepting it at Purim, what Rav Huna is going to say, is pointing to the fact that deep down inside of every Jew, he really does want to keep the Torah. That's what was revealed at Purim. It's not like, oh, we're like flip-flopping our mind. Oh, I do want it, I don't want it, I do. It's just, until we came to Purim, we didn't realize that deep down inside of every single Jew, they really do want to keep the Torah. Once we came to that realization at Purim...
How did that come and happen to Purim? What happened to Purim that we got the realization?
What happened at Purim? So... the Lubavitcher Rebbe speaks about this. He has a similar mahalach to Rav Huna, develops a little bit differently. So, Purim is a time, right? Esther mina Torah minayin, says the Gemara, I think, in Chulin. Vanochi haster apanai. I'm going to cover at my face, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Purim was a time of complete darkness, of not seeing God. And that's why God's name isn't mentioned in the Megillah. Okay, you can't. You talk about Pesach. It's I took you out of Mitzrayim with an outstretched arm, and you talk about Chanukah even, right? What's Chanukah? The candles lasted for 8 days. That's a nes galoy. Okay, every other holiday, Sukkos, whether it's on an air cover or Sukkos Mam, there's a nes galoy going on there. Okay, you see us Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf, the one holiday that There's no Nes Galoy, right? If you want, you could claim the whole story was just of course it happened because this happened and that political thing led to this political thing and that and that and that, and God's name isn't mentioned once. And Chazal also say Yesh Noam Fazarim Furah. That's the claim that Haman had against the Jewish nation. Chazal Darshan Yeshenim Mina Mitzvos. They were in a spiritual slumber. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe puts this all together and says that it's only at that time when you're in the lowest of the low, and then all of a sudden you realize you still have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If you have a connection during Pesach, when there's the splitting of the sea and you feel God, then it's like, okay, whatever, Mishkoyach. Right, but if you have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the times of Yeshenim Min HaMitzvos, in the time of Anochi Aster Aster, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name isn't even mentioned in the Megillah, Right? It's a book of Tanakh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name isn't even mentioned to realize, to say, oh, whoa, even there there's a connection. Even there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at you. You realize that deep down inside of every Jew, there is a connection, right? What you might hear ringing now, maybe you're familiar with this Rambam. There's a famous Rambam, and it's actually very parallel because the Rambam, it's in Hilchos Gerushin, it's also about Kfiya, and it's a very parallel case, speaks about the following thing, right? There's a halacha in Gittin that you can't give a get if you're forced into giving a get, right? That's why L'maisa, Rachman al-Tzlan, there are many aguna cases that, you know, we might hear about in the news or even know, right? Because why can't you just, like, hold his hand and make him give the get or whatever? Because it doesn't work, okay? So the Rambam, though, says that if someone doesn't want to give a get, right, and L'maisa, these tactics aren't really carried out nowadays, although there are other ways, legal ways, right? The Rambam says, what do? You beat him up. You punch him in the face until he finally ends up, you break his arms, whatever it is, break his legs, until he finally decides to give a get. Okay? And the Rambam's like, okay, kosher get. Right? What's the question? Well, I thought we just said that a get can't be given b'kfiyah.
Really wants to
go. So, right, what does the Rambam answer? And all the Hasidic Rambam, they love quoting this Rambam because it's a Hasidic Rambam. Right? The Rambam says, he says, no, really deep down inside, every single Jewish neshama really wants to do the mitzvahs and wants to do the Torah and doesn't want to do Neged Ratzon Hashem. And for external reasons, this is for. So that's what happened at Purim also. Right? At Purim, we were like, wait a second, you forced me into this. You broke my arms. You broke my legs. You. Right? But at Purim, we came to the realization that, whoa, no, deep down inside, every single Jew is really connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why on Purim we were able to come and say, oh, Nasa V'Nishma, which I claimed before wasn't me, really it is me. Right? Because every single Jew, what's Rav Hunter saying in this piece, just to like boil it down to like one, you know, Rav Hunter is telling us that every single Jew deep down inside is really crying out Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma. He's just yelling, Nasa V'Nishma, I want to accept the Torah. I want, and that's something that's revealed on Purim. That's the Bittul Moda Rabba revealed on Purim. Okay? Dalit. Uluma Zo Behilchot Shuva.
It's especially true in Yeshiva. Where last year, like, I don't want to say
anything. Yeah, it's
like kids like who you don't expect are like crying to the rebbe like, oh, I should.
It's very true. It's not it's not this like intangible machshava idea we're saying. I think this is a very L'maisa idea that happens on Purim. I thought you were going to say something else, which is a very also important idea to speak about just in terms of yeshiva is right. In Yeshiva Baruch Hashem, no one's pointing a gun to your head and no one's holding a mountain over your head. But there's still the concept of external pressures compelling you to make certain decisions. Whether it's good or bad. You know, maybe it's good and maybe it's necessary and maybe without those external... Right? Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to hold the mountain over their head, even though it's not the best thing, but I'm going to do it. So, you know, your Rebbe or your peer pressure, whatever it is, obviously all in the best of intentions, but there are external pressures that are causing you to do certain things. So what happens for some people, they go back to America, they leave yeshiva, whatever it is, and all of a sudden they're like, wait a second, that wasn't really me. That was my Rebbe and my friend's pressure. That wasn't the real me. The real, you know, I didn't really want to do all that learning and accept, you know, to wear tzitzis and whatever it is. So that's it. I'm out. Okay? But what does every Ben Yeshiva need to have? They need to have the Bittul Moda. That Purim moment, and, you know, it could be on Purim or it doesn't have to be on Purim, but that point where they say, wait a second, even though there were external pressures because my friends peer pressured me, or my Rebbe peer pressured, just being in yeshiva was a certain pressure, my community, whatever it was, even though I had all those external pressures, in the end of the day, I know that's who I really am. Right? That's why, even, okay, it's fine, there might be bribes, there might be Rebbes, there might be whatever, that's okay. As long as you eventually get to the point and saying, oh, yeah, I was. There was a mountain over my head, but that's okay, that's who I really am. So that is what's happening on Purim. We're looking back at Har Sinai and we're saying, whoa, I was forced into it. But then we're like, whoa, but that's who a Jew really is, deep down inside. Okay? Moving on to Dal, the last section. Uluma zvehilchot tshuva kosef haRambam. What does the Rambam say? Sheikar charato hu haachraza shani eino oso ha'ish shepal osam hamaisim ad shemach mazeh hu mishane et shmo. What's charato mean?
Remorse.
So how do we define remorse? It's looking back also and saying, right, it's charata, so Matthew pointed out that there's looking forward, it's Kabbalah Abba. But still, there's a looking back, and it's like, oh, that time that I was nasty to my parents, that time I was judgmental to my friend, that time that I was too lazy to daven at all, whatever it is. We look back at all those times, and what how can we just get rid of that on Yom Kippur? We're just like, don't judge that, God, because whatever. No. What are we saying to God? How are we telling God not to count that? Because we're saying that's not the real me. That guy that didn't daven and just overslept and didn't want to put it out, that guy that was nasty to his parents or judgmental to his friends, that's not the real me. And we're standing there in Yom Kippur and we're like, this is the real me. The guy that could be nice to his friends and nice to his parents and respect davening and not be a mevatel Torah. The bittel Torah guy, that's not me. Okay, so Rav Huna, you see, he's already setting up a parallel opposite. That when it comes to Purim, we're looking back and we're saying, oh, the guy that said Nasa Vinishma, that is me. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we're looking back and we're saying, oh, that guy that was Bittel Torah, that guy that was mean to his friends, that is not me. Okay, right? So we're saying, it's not me. Klomar ani acher. V'ein nenu oso ha'ish v'gomer. Right, a quote from the Rambam. I am someone else. I am a new person. I'm not that person. The nymphs of the mahalik hanefesh b'charata the Yom Kippur, who are mahalik shal mesira moda hamachris ki amasim shenasu eino novim b'shum ofen meha ani shal atzmusi. So on Purim, we're revoking the claim. We're taking away the moda. The moda is saying, "Ah, nasav nishma, that wasn't me." And we're revoking that. On Yom Kippur, we're putting up a moda. We're putting a claim. We're saying, that guy that was nasty to his friends, that's not me. We're putting up a moda. Rather, the reason I did all those nasty things was because of external reasons. But my true essence, that's not who I am. V'elu mahalik ha-nefesh de Purim, hu ha-mahalik shel bito moda ha-machris v'ha-madgish ki ha-masim shenasu lo ba'u machma gormim chitzonim ele dafke me'amke chiyoseinu. Right, on Purim we're saying, no, that the person who signed or accepted the Torah, it wasn't because of external things. The Ben Yeshiva who learned Black Gemara and started working on his midos and keeping halacha and everything, that wasn't because of external things. That's because that's who he really is in his essence. The Khan who shorish inyan shebimatbeya hayom shopurim in charata mishameshit no se lishum dibor. That's why on Purim there's no talk about charata. Because it's not about, oh, that wasn't me. Rather, it's about Nasa Venishma, that was me. Ki al kain hatochen hanafshi shall avodas itzumo shall yom kippur oker hu mitoch hanefesh et mahalich hacharata ki hatochen shall bito moda soter hatochen shall masiras moda. Right, the two are opposites. One of them is a bito moda, that's Purim, and Yom Kippur is a mesiras moda, is putting up a claim and saying that wasn't me. Hader kiblu v'me'acha shreyo shenem ar kimu v'kiblu. Says Rav Huttner, that's the acceptance of the Torah that's happening on Purim. So to just boil it down a little bit more, Lamaisa, we spoke this out, but just to say it again, that Purim we're tapping into that true inner pintle yid, that peace, that spark within us that really, really does want to accept the Torah. And we have to constantly keep going back to that. Every time we mess up, every time we fall, or, you know, not even like a big fall, just like had a bad Seder, a Bittul Torah, or a bad Nidos, or whatever it is, we have to go back to that and we have to say, no, the true me really is screaming Nasa V'Nishma. The true me really wants to keep every single part of the Torah without faltering any bit. And that's what we're tapping into on Purim, and that's why it's Yom Kippurim, that the two days are similar, but almost opposites, but they're both an acceptance of the Torah, but in a very different way. Purim is accepting who we really are, and that's what Shmuel pointed out, that we see at Lamaisa, a lot of Yidden on Purim are able to tap into something very special. We'll do one more piece. Any questions on this as I find the next piece I wanted to do? One more piece about...
So in that time period between Kabbalah's Torah and Purim, so could it technically, like, opt out, or... Or it's not, like, not actually...
I guess so. I don't know what that means, yeah. Lamaisa, yeah. But in definitely B'machshava, that makes sense. Okay, one more piece. Another shortish piece. It's somewhat connected because it focuses on the fact that there's a...
What was the first one? What number was it?
First one was Yud Aleph. And now we're doing Lamed Aleph, which is also about Kabbalah, Satorah, and Purim. Which is sometimes a forgotten theme of Purim, but I think a very fundamental theme of Purim. Mitzvos Ahavas Reim Shayeches L'Sug HaMitzvos Shochovas HaLevavos. So, right, we have Chovas Ha'Evarim and Chovas Ha'Levavos. What's Chovas Ha'Evarim? That's, you know, to strap tefillin, to shake lulav, right? I think in the, yeah, in the Hakdama to the, the title page of the Pachad Yitzchak, he calls it Kuntres Kim V'Kivlo, Divrei Torah B'Hilchos Deos V'Chovas Ha'Levavos. So he says, right, so he points out that to love a fellow Jew is a chovas levavos, right? There's no action. There's no, you know, to give you a present or something, right? V'avta l'reicha kamocha. Ella, shedavka hayom nist'afa mechovas levavos hazu, chovas shel po'am mamish. But, right, I said give you a present as an example, right? There's no... If you open up the Rambam, Hilchos, V'haftu L'Recha Kamocha, he's not going to say, in order to the shir in Kim, V'haftu L'Recha Kamocha, is you have to give two pieces of candy to a Jew every single day, every day of the year, and that's how you're Mekayim, or you have to hug one Jew a day, and that's how you're Mekayim, right? It's a Chovas Levavos. But Rav Hunter points out that the one day a year that this V'haftu L'Recha Kamocha actually does take on a certain tangible... Lemaisa Dika Shir is on Purim. Mishloch Manu Yisra'eyu, right? And you have to give two gifts to one person. Mishloch Manos. Ma Shalomatzinu Dugma B'Shar Chiyuvayz Manim. No other time do we see that there all of a sudden V'haplo Recha Kamocha has to, there's a certain way that you have to be Mekayim. B'ar Inyan. D'B'Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Ched Isa Braisa D'Rashbi. Chas v'sholom shetishkach Torah Yisrael shenemar lo tishkach Torah mipi zaro. Right, the Rabbanon said that they were afraid that the Torah was going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, and comes Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and he says, no, I promise, I guarantee you, Torah will never be forgotten by Klal Yisrael, as the pasuk says, ki lo tishkach Mipi Zaro, which is actually Sofe Tevos Yochai, it's written on top of the kever when you go in Merom, Kilo Tishkach Mipi Zaro Yochai, and that's why whatever, we're not going to get into Lag Bomer Torahs now, but that's why we could all be Somech on Rashbi, right? Kedaihu Rav Shimon V'Shas Atzchak, which means Rashbi guaranteed that the Torah is never going to be forgotten from the Jews, and that's the Koch of Rashbi. Not for now, right? Elamani mekayim levakech edvar Hashem velo yimtzu. Right, so why were the Rabbanon so nervous that the Torah was going to be forgotten? It's also a pasuk, right? Rashbi has a pasuk on his side saying ki lo tishkach mi Torah mipizaro, but there's a pasuk that says levakech edvar Hashem velo yimtzu. You're going to search for the word of Hashem and you won't find it. Sounds like the Torah is going to be lost. Shelo yimtzu halacha berua mishna berua b'makom echad. So Rashi says, no, it doesn't mean the Torah is going to be forgotten. Rather, it means the Torah is going to become hard, it's going to become confusing, it's going to become, you know, you're learning a sugya in Bava Kama, and then all of a sudden, it's like talking about Kedushin, and Tosos asks a question from this sugya and this sugya, and if you know this third sugya, then it all fits together, and that's really confusing. So that's what the pasuk means. Levakech edvar Hashem v'lo yimtzu. Not that it will be completely forgotten, just that it will be shelo yimtza halacha berua mishnah berua b'makom echad. That you're not going to find the clear halacha here and here. And even, you know, We'll even take, like, the Rambam, who came and said, I'm going to organize Torah. Do you know how many perushim and achronim and pages and pages and pens have been spilled to explain the Rambam? That's not a halacha brura. Or the Mishnah brura, right? I'm learning Hilchot Shabbos, but in this year with the Mishnah brura says one thing in one line. You turn the next page, he says the exact same thing. He says something that's completely opposite in Soter. The whole, that's the way Torah is supposed to be. So it came in the pasuk. Levakish Dvar Hashem Velonim Tzu. It's all over the place. Okay? Ubal Zeh Habir Mimor Enei HaMaharal. Says the Maharal, fascinating thing. Ki Mishum Shah Torah Hutsuras Yisrael. Okay? The Torah is a kiyum of Klal Yisrael. Right? Noah Cohen spoke Friday night. I don't know who it is there. He quoted from a lot of stories. He quoted from Wolfson, who says this, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and there are 600,000 Jews. Okay, a lot of Achronim deal with how this really, neither one is true, that there are 6,000 Jews, or that there is, right? Yisrael stands for Yeshishim Yisrael, which means Jews, is Yeshishim Riboy Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. It's a Pnei Yeshua that deals with it, and a lot of the Mefarshim deal with it. A lot of different shatim, how it comes to be, you know, maybe every an aleph has two yods, and if you split up that way, there's a lot of different ways of figuring it out. But lamaisa, the Torah corresponds to Klal Yisrael. But we also know that there's a phrase from the Zohar that a lot of sfarim like to quote: "Kucha brichu v'raita v'Yisrael chadhu," that Kucha brichu in the Torah and Klal Yisrael are all one. So Lemaisa, what we're getting to is that the Torah is the same. Is Klal Yisrael and the Torah are a manifestation of each. They're two sides of the same coin. Imkain, mikevon shebegalus Yisrael he mufuzarim umufuradim bein haumos ayde gzeros Hashem Yisbarach shelo yeh b'makom echad kach surasa. Says the Maharal, fascinating. Right? Why does the Torah have to be so confusing? And as Rashbi says in the Gemara, that you can't find one halacha and one mishnah in one place, and you need this and from this place and that place and this parish and this footnote or whatever, and the Torah is all over the place, right? Lemaisa, you know, you want to understand this, because we're all sitting here breaking our teeth during morning Seder, and we're like, why is this so hard? This is the morale. It had to be this way. Why? Because the Torah is the same thing as Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, we had to go into Galus, right? We weren't deserving of the base of Megdash HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send us into Galus to purge us, to punish us in a certain way, to make us fit for Gula Atida, the Gula Shlema. So we had to go into Galus. And what does Galus mean? It means that some Jews live here, and some Jews live here, and some Jews live here, and you have the Jews in Canada, and the Jews in America, and the Jews in South Africa, and the Jews in, all over the place, Jews all over the world. That's what Galus is. And if the Torah is the same thing as Klal Yisrael, and if the Jews had to be spread out all over the world, so too, the Torah has to be spread out and dispersed and not all in one place, not in a clear, uniformed, orderly fashion. Right? Since the Jews are all spread up in Amim, so their tzura, the Torah, also has to be spread out and totally, all over the world, all over the place. Haisa believe echad ki ish echad velo b'tor tior mal yasam shay Yisrael b'shat matan Torah ela shadargon shal vayichan kushuro hi b'matan Torah kishal hevet b'gacheler. Says Rav Huttner that according to this, that the famous Chazal vayichan sham Yisrael k'neged ahar vayichan is written b'loshon rabim Rashi b'loshon yachid, sorry, vayichan instead of vayichanu. Rashi quotes Chazal, what's Vayichan Sham? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. That when they got to Har Sinai, they had complete unity. He says, that's not just like, we're
the Torah decided to say like a nice thing, like it was really nice. They all sat around, kumbaya. It was a really beautiful scene of unity. It was nice. It's not like a cute little thing, says Rav Huttner. Rather, they had to be in a place of unity in order to accept the Torah. The Mikavon Shah Torah Yitzura San Shah Yisrael, Bushah Matan Torah, Hay Kola Torah Haya, Mechunesib Makom Echad, Kamokim Gan Levavam Shah Yisrael, Haya Tzarech Liyot Mechusam Lemakom Echad. Why did it have to be this way? Because if Klal Yisrael is the same thing as the Torah, like we just said that the Torah is so confusing nowadays because we're in Galus, and if Klal Yisrael is spread out, the Torah has to be spread out. Then what does that mean? That at the time of Kabbalah, the Torah, right at Har Sinai, that's when the Torah is all together. That's when the Torah is not spread out. The Torah is clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys the entire Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu in 40 days and 40 nights. The Torah is all in one place. It's unified. But if Klal Yisrael is the same tzura as the Torah, that means Klal Yisrael also has to be unified. So right, it's not a cute thing that they were unified, that there was unity amongst Klal Yisrael. It's a tenai, it's essential to receiving the Torah that all of Klal Yisrael are together and that there's achdus. You guys with me? You follow? Okay. V'inyan zeh shavayichan Yisrael mitkayim hu gam ledoros b'chol shanam v'shanam b'zman matan Torah ha'idei chobas ha'asifa kol Yisrael l'ri'iyas panim k'damrin b'chagiga kavav de b'moed ha'kasuv asan kulan chavir. So Rav Huttner says, each and every year, on Shavuos, when we re-accept the Torah, right, Vav Sivan, again, we re-accept the Torah each and every year, right? Shavuos isn't just like a commemoration, like, you know, on Thanksgiving, we, like, re-commemorate that, like, I don't even know what we're commemorating, that we killed a lot of Indians or something, I'm not sure. But on Shavuos, it's not a commemoration, we're re-accepting the Torah every single Shavuos, it's Kabbalah's the Torah, mamish. So that means that there has to be unity again. How was that achieved? So says Rav Huttner, Aliyah Regel. They would all come to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Ke'ir Shechubra La Yachtav. A sudden unity is, you know, amongst the Klal Yisrael. They're together, unified, and that's how they're able to re-accept the Torah each and every Shavuos. V'chol ma'ash nimtza b'kabbalas Torah d'Har Sinai nimtza gankim b'gmar kabbalas Torah d'Purim. So everything we find at the Kabbalas Torah at Har Sinai also has to be at the Gemar Kabbalas Torah. When's the Gemar Kabbalas Torah? We know, at Purim. That's when they only read. So what does that mean? There also has to be unity in Purim in order to accept the Torah. Ukeshem the Kabbalas Torah the Sinai Yesha Darga Shel Vayichan Yisrael Kamok and Gemar Kabbalas the Purim Yesha Darga Ayidei Ha Vikabel Ha Yehudim Ha Ne'emar Bo. So just like we have Vayichan, which is singular, and we say Vayichan ki ishachad v'levechad, if you look in the Megillah, it says V'kabel ha-Yehudim. It doesn't say V'kablu in plural. So we see, there's unity again when we accepted the Torah. V'kabel ha-Yehudim de-Purim hu hemshech yoshar min ha-Vayichan d'ar Sinai. So this is the same thing, Vayichan, V'kabel, singular, that's it. That's how we're able to accept the Torah. But what's Rav Huttner's question now? Says, every Shavuos, how do we tap into Vayichan? Because we have Aliyah L'Regel, and Aliyah L'Regel ties us all together. So how on Purim are we able to tap into the Vayikabel? We could tap into the Vayichal every Shavuos because we have Aliyah L'Regel. But we can't tap into the Vayikabel every single Shavuos. Ela the mikavon shenitvar b'matan Torah hamiskayim ledoros inyan havayichan alidei asivas kol echad liriyas panim in kein bepurim de'ein ba aliyah l'regel yichasin ledoros kiyam ledarga zeh shel zu shel vayikabel. We're lacking vayikabel. We don't have aliyah l'regel on Purim. Right? So maybe we should have aliyah. No, we don't have aliyah l'regel on Purim. V'achin ba b'kan chova b'poel shel avas reyim b'kdei lahafu chazakim of the kiblu. So that's why the one day all year that there's a specific, tangible, physical kiyum of Ahat L'Reicha Kamocha that we have to give Mishloach Manot. What's Mishloach Manot? We need it in order to have unity, and we need unity in order to accept the Torah. Right? The whole reason we're giving Mishloach Manos is to be mekayim the Tanai of Achlis, to accept the Torah. When we give Mishloach Manos, we're accepting the Torah. Beautiful. If we just only read this much, Dayenu, but we're putting her just the next three, four lines, really. But Dayen Ein Zeh Maspik. This isn't enough, says Rav Hunter, right? He says, you think right now, you know, mind is blown, you know, like, wow, Mishloach Manos, Kabbalah Satorah, crazy. But Dayen Ein Zeh Maspik. Da'are Avas Reyim Shtei Bechinos Yeshla. There are two aspects of Avas Reyim, of brotherly love. Ligrom Hana V'koras Ruach L'chavero. There is one way of manifestation, Avas Reyim, is to do things which are nice to your friend, to cause benefit and koras ruach and like a goodwill amongst people. So, you know, if I give a guy a package that has, you know, I mean, what do people give him a shochman? I don't even know, whatever. What? Candy? Okay, if I give someone a package of candy, or, you know, it's nice. I made you feel happy, and it's good, and, you know, there's Avas Reyim. But there's another part of Avas Reyim. Vigam, there's another aspect. Etzem his karbus hanavshi vahishtatfus beruach im chaveros. So he says there's another part of that. There's a real closeness. Meaning, right, if I find a random guy on the street, just a Jew, you know, a beautiful Jew, and I give him this beautiful package of candy and cakes, and it's all, so I did him a favor, and he's happy and whatever. You see, there's a closeness, a real bond, what's the word? Karvus, a closeness, hishtatvus, a shutvus, a partnership between us? I don't know. I think I'd say, I made him happy. It's nice. He feels good. But is there a real closeness? So he said, Ravunner says that there are two parts of Avas, right? There's making people feel good, and there's also feeling close to people. Right? And you could have one without the other. I give the package, I made you feel good, I gave you hana, but if I don't know you and like whatever, then there's no closeness. Or, we'll see the other way, how you get closeness without necessarily doing hana. Right? So he says, Nihi de inyan hashoch manos matim lebechina rishono shal avas reyim dahinu garamas koras ruach. So it's okay, I understand how mishloch manos causes the aspect, it achieves the aspect of making people feel good, of doing nice acts for people. What about the second, the closeness? Okay, we did nice things, but you're supposed to feel close. It's not just about doing nice things. The answer to this is, he quotes Chazal, Gedola Legima Shemekarevis Es Halavavos, that Legima, the drink, right, an alcoholic drink, to drink together when friends drink together, and there's a real bond between them from the experience of drinking together, Mikarevis Es Halavavos. That achieves the closeness. So says Rav Hutner, beautiful, not just. Right, Mishloach Manos is a tnai for unity in order to accept the Torah, but so too is the drinking. We drink on Purim to come close, to have a real Shevis Achim Gam Yachad, to really get together and to Bezus Hashem accept the Torah this coming Purim. Amen.